This is Dave Gloetz of MrRadio.org. I'm speaking with the Chicago Reader's Ben Jarofsky. Ben's article in the May 15th, 2008 edition of the Reader is called A Commission of Puppets, and he's here with me today to tell the rest of the story. Well, Ben, as we are meeting now, the Chicago Plan Commission is also meeting, and we're meeting to talk about them, but they're probably not meeting to talk about us.
Most assuredly.
Your article talks about the fact that today the commission is hearing arguments around the city's proposal to relocate the Chicago Children's Museum in Grand Park near Daley Bicentennial Plaza, or right at Daley Bicentennial Plaza. And your article deals mostly with, first of all, what is the likelihood that the Plan Commission will go along with the deal? And secondly, if they do, why is it likely that they do? And who are the various players on the commission? One of the things that I'm interested in is I feel like there's a disconnect between the original charter of the Plan Commission and its current makeup. The commission was originally charged with keeping public land use consistent with the city's long-term planning goals. But it feels like now, based on what you've written, that, as you quote one former member of the commission, it's basically a rubber stamp for what the mayor wants. At what point did this disconnect happen, do you think? I mean, was it ever anything but a rubber stamp? Because the original charter of it sounds rather lofty.
Yeah, well, you have to disregard the loftiness of all our noble aspirations in the city.
But even originally, like in the early 20th century?
I can't answer that. As old as I look, I've only been around Chicago since 1981 or two or something like that. So all I know is for the last 30-odd years, 40 years, the Plan Commission has been a rubber stamp. And its sole purpose, as near as I can tell it, is to fulfill whatever statutory requirements the city has regarding to projects either on the lakefront or projects that are unusually large or don't conform to any zoning classification. Those are the so-called plan developments. So these are projects that need their own special zoning approval. Beyond that, the Plan Commission serves no function, and it sort of points to a larger issue of the lack of planning in Chicago. Every now and then, the planning department, which is the mayoral control body that supposedly oversees planning in the city and which basically staffs the Plan Commission, every now and then the planning department will commission a study to try to direct future planning and development matters, but they by and large ignore the studies they commission whenever an important developer emerges with a project. So there really is no planning in Chicago. It's pretty much development deal by development deal with the mayor letting everyone know that he wants development because development's good.
So you don't feel like even the Chicago Department of Planning and Development does planning?
No. The joke is the Chicago Department of No Planning and Overdevelopment. So no, they do nothing. They merely green light deals. That's what they do. Now, the one area of concern, and this does go back to the 20th century, has to do with the lakefront. Supposedly, we have, it's like a sacred front on the city, our lakefront. It's our jewel. That's the notion. In reality, as you can tell by just driving up and down the lakefront, it's been massacred many times. I mean, on the north side of the city, they allowed all those high-rises, the canon of high-rises, to go along the lakefront from, what is it, Hollywood all the way to Howard Street, actually Hollywood to around Devon, so cutting off the public's access to the lakefront. And then in the center of the city, you have McCormick Place, which is a disgrace. And then you have Northerly Island, where they have rock and roll concerts. And then, of course, as you move further south along the lakefront, you have the steel mills if you go way south. So we're holding on to like a portion, a mere portion of the lakefront that we're preserving. And the mayor, this current mayor, has let it be known that he feels free to do whatever he wants with that corner of the lakefront, as he did with Meigs Field, as he did with Northern Island, and as he is now doing with the Children's Museum, as he did with the Latin soccer field. Time and time again, when he wants to either tear something up or put something in along the lakefront, he does so. And the Plan Commission, as I said, either is ignored by the mayor, as in the case in the Latin soccer field, or, as I said, merely acts as a rubber stamp, as it will invariably do today with the Children's Museum.
One of the things that comes up for me when you describe all the different development on the lakefront is that the arguments of the opponents to the relocation of the Children's Museum in Grand Park are based on that lakefront protection ordinance, and they seem to ignore the fact that it's been violated, seemingly, so many times, because you can look at all that development that you named. So do you see some sort of convenient myopia on the part of those opponents?
You have to divide the opponents of the Children's Museum into different categories. The largest, loudest group is the residents who live near Grant Park, and they're relatively new, at least if not to the city, then to that corner of the city. And so they're having your typical not-in-my-backyard attitude, which, by the way, I'm not derisive about. I'm not sneering at it. I respect it. They live there. They have to deal with the buses. It's their park. They're there all the time. They should be listened to. I think residents should be listened to. So that's one group that probably just emerged around this single issue. And I would say, by and large, the great majority of them have never even given any thought whatsoever to lakefront protection ordinance or lakefront development. Then you have a second group, and I'll clump a bunch of people together in this group, and those are preservationists slash naturalists slash lakefront activists who have been fighting this fight for a long time, and they have joined forces with the neighbors, with the residents. And they have been fighting, like I said, this good fight for years, and there's all sorts of interesting battles that have been going on back to the days of not this Mayor Daley, but his old man.
When you say the good fight, you mean the fight against development on the lakefront?
The fight against development. We start from the assumption, everybody starts from the assumption that the lakefront is our jewel. Even Mayor Daley says the lakefront is our jewel. Without the lakefront, Chicago would be just another city. And so we should preserve and protect it. It's for the public. It's what makes us distinctive. Okay, so everybody starts with that assumption. And then, of course, working against that assumption is the urge, the temptation to build all over the lakefront. In fact, I would argue that many of those skyscrapers filled with people who are fighting the Grant Park battle over the Children's Museum, many of those skyscrapers, they block access to the lakefront. They're ugly. They're unsightly.
Delicious irony there.
Yeah, there's a lot of contradiction. There's a lot of double standards here. But by and large, when you have this much attention focused on one particular issue, it's really hard to defend what the city is doing in Grant Park.
And once again, this is a, I don't know what to call it, and it's certainly not an administrative body. It's sort of a regulatory body, a planning body that is not answerable to the public in any way. They're only answerable to one of the public's elected officials, namely the mayor.
Right. And because the mayor appoints them, the argument that the mayor's backers always use is this. If you, the electorate, don't like the rulings of the Plan Commission, or the Community Development Commission, or the Park District Board, or the Board of Education, or any another one of these mayoral appointed boards, bodies, agencies, entities, what have you, then you, the public, can oust the mayor. Well, as we've seen, that's virtually impossible because all the laws are in favor of the mayor. All the bodies that govern and dictate election law are appointed by the mayor. And it's sort of a false argument to use, and yet it's used all the time.
What do you think the odds are that the mayor will be ousted by other than electoral process, in other words, by federal investigators closing in on him?
Well, you know, I was thinking about this. I mean, that was the talk, if you can go back in time to the summer of, oh my gosh, it would have been the summer of 06, even by 05. There's a lot of talk around City Hall that the feds were going to work their way up and indict the mayor, and that indictment could come on the eve of the election. And so there were a number of fairly high-profile politicians sort of working behind the scenes, trying to let everybody know that they were interested in running for mayor. Two congressmen, Congressman Gutierrez, Congressman Jackson, Danny Solis, John Fritchie, Mike Quigley, Forrest Claypool. I've heard so many different names. Everybody letting everybody else know that, you know, they were ready to go. There probably could have been as many as 10 candidates had that happen, but it didn't happen. And at the risk of sounding completely jaded, I've always felt that the message was sent when George Bush came to town for his 60th birthday and dined with Mayor Daley at some restaurant in the South Loop. And if I were truly, truly jaded and cynical, I would say that President Bush is paying back the Daleys for the efforts that Mayor Daley's brother, William Daley, did as Al Gore's campaign manager back in 2000 when they completely bent over and let Bush roll over Gore in the Florida count. But that would be really jaded and cynical.
That's really cynical, yeah. Your theory also implies that U.S. Attorney Patrick Fitzgerald is also susceptible to influence in this area by the Bush administration.
I'm shocked and outraged that you would even make that suggestion. There's gambling in Casablanca? Oh, my God. Round up the usual suspects.
I think we'll leave it there with those suspects.
Yes.
Thanks again, Ben, for talking with me. This is Dave Glowatz. I've been speaking with the Chicago Reader's Ben Jarofsky about the rest of the story. Check back at MrRadio.org for further installments or subscribe to our podcast. Thanks for listening.